Jesus Plus Nothing, 100% natural, no additives. Andrew Farley celebrating your freedom in Christ. Call in and ask your questions at 877-655-6755. That's toll free at 877-655-6755. Via satellite from Texas, it's Andrew Farley Live.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Andrew Farley Live. This is Andrew. We are live for the next half hour taking your calls across the United States and Canada. That number, 877-655-6755. We've got wide open lines here at the top of the hour. You know what that means? Well, it means plenty of room for you right now to get in with your question. If you've got a question about a scripture passage, or maybe there's something you heard in church recently and you're still scratching your head wondering about it, then let's make it a conversation together right now, 877-655-6755. And if you're a first-time caller tonight, please know we love to hear from our first-time callers. We'd love to hear from you. If you're a veteran listener, maybe you've called in the past, but you've got something new on your mind tonight, by all means, join us as well. Again, that number, open lines, toll-free across the United States and Canada right now, 877-655-6755. Well, the announcement you've been waiting for, we are so excited to let you know about our very next conference. It is happening Saturday, March 21, and that is just about 6 or 7 weeks away, pretty close. So go for it. We'd love to see you be a part of this conference happening in Dallas, Texas, Saturday, March 21st. It is the Hurt and the Healer Conference. We're going to talk about how the grace of God, how Jesus himself is the healer of our hurts, what it means to be a new creation in Christ and to draw your worth and your value and your identity from him, what it means to walk by the Spirit and trust Christ living in you instead of trying to just grunt and grit it out through clenched teeth and human effort. We're going to talk about what it means to be a totally forgiven person living under God's grace as a new creation. And so this Hurt and Healer Conference is starting Saturday, March 21st. It's a one-day event. It's going to be happening at the Aloft Hotel in Dallas Love Field area. You can find out everything you need to know at our website. There's a homepage banner at andrewfarley.org. That's andrewfarley.org. Just click on that conference banner in the scrolling banner at the top of our homepage at andrewfarley.org. So again, Saturday, March 21st, the Hurt and the Healer Conference. We are excited to bring this conference to Dallas at the Aloft Hotel in Dallas Love Field. So if you want to fly in for the event, you know, people from all over the United States are already registering, so we encourage you to register today. And if you're flying in, like so many are, Dallas Love Field is literally a quarter of a mile from this hotel. You can shuttle right there. So go to our website at andrewfarley.org to find out more. All right, let's go to Louisiana, and we'll talk with Chris. Hey, Chris.
All right, how you doing? I was watching in one of your ministries, and you said that we don't have to confess our sins to God over and over. Uh-huh. And I was just trying to see that theology, because I work with a lot of people, and they all say you can't just live any way you want to and expect to go to heaven. But John says that all unrighteousness is sin. So if you're not being perfect, then you're sinning. Uh-huh. You know what verse is talking about?
Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah. I mean, let's talk about that. So you got to be perfect. Well, there's only one way to be perfect, right? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14, by one offering, we've been made perfect forever. And you talk about not needing to confess your sins over and over and over. Well, you know, even the folks who think you have to confess them all to be forgiven, even those folks say, well, you just got to make sure you confess them all. They don't say you got to confess them 10 times and 30 times and 50 times. So I don't know of any so-called Christian teaching out there that says you need to confess your sins over and over and over. The common teaching is that we have to confess every sin in order to get every sin forgiven. And in order to get every sin cleansed, we have to confess each one. And that is the common teaching that I am speaking out against. And it's certainly not because of some sort of anti-confession. I mean, I think confession, agreeing with God, is healthy. We should agree with God about everything. So if you've misunderstood my teaching on this, listen up. I think this will clarify. We should confess that Jesus is Lord. We should confess that God created the world. We should confess that what we just did 8 minutes ago is sin. We should confess that Jesus died for that sin. We should confess that he took away our sins. If we're in Christ, we should confess that we're totally forgiven people. We should confess that we're the righteousness of God. We should confess that we're dead to sin and alive to him. I mean, there's all kinds of things that we can, quote unquote, confess. Confess means to agree with God. And so let's agree with God about everything. But here's the clarification that so many people need and deserve. Here it is. We don't confess each and every sin in order to be more forgiven, in order to be more cleansed. No. The Bible teaches us clearly in the New Testament that we have been forgiven, past tense, that we have been forgiven once for all. That is the teaching of Hebrews in chapters 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. It was only the Jews under the law that were getting progressive forgiveness. So you know what it's like to pay a car payment. You know what it's like to have a mortgage you have to make payments on every month. Well, that is progressive payment. Jesus did better than that. He did not make progressive payments on your sins. He took your sins away once for all. He paid it all to him we owe, right? We sing this, and then 5 minutes later, we're asking if he might forgive us. Will you forgive me? Would you forgive me? Might you forgive me? Well, he says, your sins and lawless acts I remember no more. And so when we understand this forgiveness issue, we start to relax in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Remember, what is it that brings us forgiveness? It's blood, right? Not apologies, not confessions, not our memory and our legal pad and our many words. The only thing that brings forgiveness is blood. Hebrews 9 says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Now I ask you, how many times did Jesus shed his blood? Once, right? Well, did it work? Yes. For how many sins? All. Will he ever die again? No. Will he ever shed his blood again? No. Why not? Because it is finished. So what we are saying is, when in Hebrews 8, when God says, I remember their sins no more, we need to take that to the bank. When he says that we've been made holy once for all in Hebrews 10, we need to take that to the bank. When he goes on and tells us time and time again in the book of Hebrews, where he says it best, that Jesus is not offering sacrifice for sins year after year. Jesus is not dying repeatedly or endlessly. No, he died once for all. He cleansed us once for all, Hebrews 10:3. Christ died for sins once for all, 1 Peter 3:18. He took away our sins. He doesn't cover them. Some people are teaching that our sins are under the blood. That's not the truth. Your sins are not under the blood. What if one creeped out the side? You know, he did a greater work than covering your sins. Hebrews 10, verses 4 and 5. Talk about how he took away our sins. The blood of bulls and goats could never take away sins. What did John the Baptist say? He said, look, the Lamb of God who does what? Who takes away the sin of the world. And so that is what Jesus has done. He has taken away your sins once for all. That's what makes you a forgiven person. So it is not your ability to remember every sin. It is not your ability to recite every sin. It is not your ability to confess every sin. If we don't watch it, we end up with some sort of Catholic Protestant hybrid religion where, oh, I'm not going to a priest. No, I'm not going to a confession booth, but I have to go to God one by one by one to get progressive forgiveness on Monday and then Tuesday and then Wednesday, as if I'm paying off my car payment little by little by little. Well, it doesn't matter whether you're going to a confession booth or you're going to God direct. If you think that you are being progressively forgiven, then you do not know the finished work of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 9:28 says Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people. He will appear a second time without reference to sin to those who eagerly await him. So do you see that Jesus appeared once, was sacrificed once to take away your sins, and he will appear a second time for rescue, to bring salvation to those who are eagerly awaiting him? And it says not to bear sin without reference to sin. Why? Because it worked the first time. There is no repeat needed. 1 John 3:5 says he appeared so that he might take away our sins, and that's exactly what he did. You know what he did after that? He sat down. In the Old Testament, every priest would stand. They couldn't sit. They would stand and perform their religious duties again and again, over and over, repeatedly, endlessly. They would perform these duties that could never take away sins. Hebrews 10 says, but when Jesus had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. And so my question for us this evening is this: what position are you in regarding your sins? Are you running around like Martha, 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 trying to get clean and get fessed up and get forgiven and get cleansed and get more fellowship and get God back and get back in his will and get him to like you again and get clean and get forgiven? Or are you willing to do what Jesus did, to sit down and say, it is finished? Which do you believe is a response of faith? So, Chris, admitting wrongdoing is healthy. Turning from sin is healthy. Saying no to sin every single time is certainly the right way to go. But if you're asking if we need any more forgiveness, the answer is no. If you're asking if we need any more cleansing, the answer is no. Because forgiveness and cleansing come by blood alone. Jesus Christ shed his blood one time. It worked that first time, and it needs no repeat. So there are plenty of reasons to reject sin, but getting more forgiven is not one of them. Let me say that again a different way. There are plenty of reasons to live a godly, upright life, to say no to sin, to say yes to Jesus. There are plenty of reasons to live uprightly, but we are not getting more and more forgiveness. So somebody says, well, if I'm totally forgiven, then I'll just go out and live any way I want to. And I think that was some of your exact words, Chris. We could just go out and live any way you want to. Well, what if Jesus has changed your want-tos? What if Jesus has caused you to have a new heart, a new spirit, and his spirit living in you? What if when you go out and try to sin and set world records for sin and do a bunch of sinning and do what you think you want in sinning, well, what if you find out real quick that you're not so content, you're not so happy, you're not so fulfilled? So is it possible to be totally forgiven and miserable? Yes. Just go out and choose sin, and it's a surefire way to be miserable. Is it possible to be totally forgiven and completely unfulfilled? Yes. Just go out and choose sin and you'll be completely unfulfilled. So there are plenty of good, healthy reasons to stay away from sin. But we are not being progressively forgiven. That came by blood. It came once for all, and it is finished. Chris, I hope that helps. Reach out to us again anytime. Great to hear from you. All right, let's go now to Nebraska, and we'll talk with Miles. Hey, Miles.
Hi, Andrew. Hey, I'm a reforming evangelical, and I just finished reading Twisted Scripture, and I was just curious on what passage you would recommend the most for figuring out our true identity in Christ.
Okay. All right. Sounds good, Miles. Well, there's a couple of passages, maybe two or three, that would be top contenders. I would say that Romans chapter 6 is pretty ideal to share with people. Here's why. It says at the outset, hey, Romans, there may be something that you don't know yet. Verse 3, do you not know? That's Romans 6:3. And then from there on, he says, do you not know that you've been carried into a death, that you've been carried through a burial, that you've been brought through a resurrection, that your old self was crucified, that now you're freed from sin's power? Do you not know that you're alive to God, that you got unplugged from Adam and you got plugged into Christ? You're a slave of righteousness. Do you not know that sin is a parasite that can take root in your mortal body and influence you toward its lusts? That's verse 12. Don't let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lusts. And so I think that Romans 6 would be a killer passage, no pun intended, because it talks all about our death with Christ, our burial with Christ, and our resurrection in Christ, so that we now enjoy a newness of life. One of my favorite verses in this passage is verse 17. But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed, and having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Now, how beautiful is that? Miles, I'll leave it at that. I gave you a little exposition there of Romans 6 in 5 minutes or less, but also Colossians 2. You cannot go wrong with Colossians 2 as a backup. So I recommend them. Check it out, Romans 6 and Colossians 2. Hope your Bible study goes well, and reach out to us again anytime. We'd love to hear from you, Miles. All right, let's go now to Phoenix, Arizona, and we'll talk with Susie. Hi, Susie.
Hi, Andrew. Pleasure to talk with you, sir.
Yeah, what do you got?
Where I work, a couple comes in, and they're Jehovah's Witnesses, obviously. And I've shared with them, my husband went to be with the Lord about almost 3 years ago, and I just share with them the hope that I have in Christ, and that he's with the Lord, and I'm just so looking forward to reuniting with him and just spending eternity.
Yeah.
So I got a card the other day, and it had stuff about the resurrection. It had quotes from John 5, about 28, mm-hmm. in that area. Is there really a resurrection? You know, we'd love to study with you and talk about having a hope and, the truth about the resurrection. And I'm just wondering, I'm not going to study with them. I've already told them I already fixed my faith in Christ, and I don't really care to enter into that. But I kind of, you know, they did it again and keep asking and asking, how do I let them down gracefully? And what is that resurrection? There's a resurrection of the dead, and it sounds in that passage like these people have been dead for ages. And then they're going to be resurrected. So could you explain that to me a little bit and then tell me how to let them down?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, first of all, as far as letting them down, the Bible tells us to not even let those kind of folks into our houses. So we don't have to worry about hurting feelings in this instance because, look, I mean, you don't have an agenda with them and they have an agenda with you. their agenda is to persuade you to move away from your faith in Jesus Christ and in what he's done for you, and instead to invest in their theology, which is no sound theology at all. And so you see that it's important. I mean, 2 John 1, it says, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not take them into your house or welcome them. 2 John 1:10. So I think you can put your confidence in this sort of instruction. There were folks in 2 John who were running ahead, not continuing in the teaching of Christ. And it says they didn't have God. In other words, God wasn't on their side. God wasn't in it. He wasn't in their message. He wasn't in their teaching. They were in error and teaching error and pushing error and persuading people into error. And so John, the Apostle John's solution is, do not take them into your house or welcome them. So I would cut off all communication and say, I'm not interested. What they want is further explanation. Well, Susie, tell me why. Well, Susie, share your feelings. Well, Susie, talk to me about all the reasons, and then we can rebut each one and keep on talking. So I would just cut it off, block them, move on with life. I mean, 2 John 1 says, don't take them into your life. So as far as the resurrection, I mean, there we're dealing with eternity. I mean, if you die tomorrow, Susie, you go to be with the Lord. Absent from the body is present with the Lord. And yet, wait a minute. Gosh, there's a future date in the Bible spoken of in this passage, John 5, but also spoken of in Thessalonians and spoken of in Revelation and spoken of all over the place where the Lord returns. There's rescue. He comes down. We meet him, in those who are still alive meet him in the air. The dead in Christ will rise first. You say, well, wait a minute. If I died 500 years prior, then am I sitting in a holding tank? Am I circling heaven's airport? Am I in some sort of bosom of Abraham? I'm just sort of waiting? No. Jesus said to the thief on the cross, today you will be with me in paradise. So there's an instant in which, in a twinkling of an eye, an instant in which it feels like we dozed off and woke up and boom, we're in the presence of God himself. So there's no waiting. And then you say, well, then how does it all work? And the answer is, we don't know. You know, without being a spiritual physicist, without understanding eternity, my best guess is when you and I fall asleep here, when we pass away, we awaken to the sound of the trumpet. And that final moment is already happening. And we're celebrating Jesus right away. So today you will be with me in paradise. Absent from the body is present with the Lord. There's no sound reason to believe that we're sitting around waiting and waiting and waiting. It's going to be an instant or feel like an instant, and we have to let it be mysterious, because that's what eternity is. With no wristwatch, with no clock on the wall, with no sun and earth revolving, well then, it's going to be eternity like we've never seen it before. So, Susie, I hope that helps you tonight. I hope it's an encouragement and a clarification. Please reach out to us again. Call us back anytime, my friend. All right. Well, we ran out of time tonight, but I want to thank you for joining us and remind you that if you want to dig a little deeper, well, we literally have thousands of messages available for free on video, audio, 3-minute videos of encouragement, 30-minute videos to dig a little deeper into a message, a chapter, a topic. It's all searchable at our website. Click the media tab at andrewfarley.org. That's andrewfarley.org. And if you haven't subscribed yet, we've got exclusive content coming out 3 times a week. So right there on our homepage, you can subscribe. And after you subscribe, you're going to find exclusive content, videos of encouragement, messages that will help you understand even better your forgiveness in Jesus Christ, your new identity in him, and what it means to live under God's grace and be motivated by him.
For more information on Andrew's books, please visit andrewfarley.org. That's andrewfarley.org. Join us every week at this time as we invite you to celebrate the freedom of God's grace. Goodbye, everybody. Body.